ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am, of course, recently, I have in my Obama shirt, recently bedazzled by Aretha Franklin.
Does she bedazzle things?
No, she didn't.
I didn't.
She did come see Detroit Sexy Liberal, but
she did.
I bedazzled this myself.
Oh,
I thought that was about the Peter Cook Dudley Moore movie from
the
60s.
No. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. We have a rollicking Tuesday show coming up in about half an hour. Wait, oh, hang on. Product placement.
Uh-oh.
The Zach Walls, author of My Two Moms.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, the handsome, romantic man who talked about his two moms who so movingly in Iowa before the marriage equality vote
right
there.
Yet you talk about him like your two dogs.
He is handsome. And also in hour number three, David Schuster from Current TV, the most interesting man in the world, to talk about the most awkward man in the world, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, with Zach coming up in about a half, I have in about a less than a half an hour, Jim, I have a guess the quote for you. Who said in the key here would be in 1994? If we're to achieve the goals we share, we must make equality for gays and lesbians a mainstream concern. My opponent cannot do this. I can and will. Who said that?
Mitt Romney.
No, but that was close, Jim. Yes, Mitt Romney said that because he was so very, 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 very pro-gay rights back then. Who said, I promise to make domestic partner benefits a hallmark of my leadership as governor? Who said that?
Mom Rittney.
No, that would be Mitt Romney back in 1990.
He might as well have been dancing with a shirt off and a glow stick in his hand.
Right.
Seriously.
Who can say?
Who said, in 2004, Massachusetts should not become the Las Vegas of same-sex marriage. We do not intend to export our marriage confusion to the entire nation. Who said that?
Donald Trump.
No, that was a good guess. No, Mitt Romney.
Which one?
A bonus round. From day one, I've opposed the move for same-sex marriage and its equivalent civil unions. The ruling is a blow against the family. You know, some gay couples are actually having children born to them. Who said that?
Targ Flernman.
No, Mitt Romney. I have to talk to Zach about that. Did you realize there's actually...
Oh, my God!
Okay. Oh, there's one more bonus round. Who said he didn't care about his constituents and their rights? He cared about his future as a presidential candidate. Who said that?
Flynn Harbin.
It doesn't matter. One of the plaintiffs in the case there. All right. Yeah, and meanwhile, yeah, this is just... This is really... So, apparently, the president is celebrating bin Laden's death too much, politicizing.
Mm.
Because, you know, no party would ever politicize something like 9/11.
No.
And Mitt Romney will talk about that with Rudy Giuliani today.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. In New York.
In the shadow of the new World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No,
yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
They won't be politicizing.
Though. Not
no.
at all.
No. President Obama, I'm sorry, just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. President Obama gave a steely defense of his handling of the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, saying it was appropriate to mark an anniversary. Republicans' charges being turned into a campaign bumper sticker. Stop making my competence an issue and your president's former president's incompetence. That's not fair. You're politicizing.
I mean, he needs a banner. Mission actually accomplished.
Yes.
The president recommended looking at people's previous statements on the manhunt for the 9/11 mastermind. Like this, you mean? Because sometimes there happens to be audio. This would be Obama in 2007.
If we have actionable intelligence about high-value terrorist targets and President Musharraf will not act, we will.
Oh, my
and
God, he was a crazy warmonger.
And you know what?
Kenyan
he did.
Socialist.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Chris, what's that? What did Mitt Romney say in 2007? Why, thanks for asking.
He says he wants to unilaterally go in and potentially bomb a nation which is our friend.
Hmm. Yeah, see, McCain said that, too. He didn't say he was going to bomb Pakistan.
No. And he didn't bomb Pakistan.
No.
At all.
No.
It was a surgical strike to get one man.
Right.
And they got one man.
And indeed they did. And by the way, so Mitt Romney also at that time had said, you know, we shouldn't move heaven and earth to get one person. What? He's not one person. He's not one person that killed 3,000 Americans.
Yeah, I don't think I should do anything. I really think the president has no business doing anything at all, really.
Yeah.
Except counting his money. That's what a president should do.
Here's the president on this yesterday.
As far as my personal role and what other folks would do, I just recommend that everybody take a look at people's previous statements in terms of whether they thought it was appropriate to go into Pakistan and take out bin Laden. I assume that people meant what they said when they said it. That's been at least my practice. I said that I'd go after bin Laden if we had a clear shot at him. And I did. If there are others who
have
said one thing and now suggest they do something else, then I'd go ahead and let them explain it.
How many times do you think George Bush has watched that clip of himself going, I don't care.
Yeah, disband that unit. Come on.
She's probably sitting at home going, Laura, I shouldn't have maybe said that.
Yeah, he also should have undone the straps on his parachute.
There are many things he shouldn't have done.
I maybe shouldn't have let him get away at Tora Bora and shut down the bin Laden unit. That might look bad in retrospect.
I probably shouldn't have put up that mission accomplished banner. Didn't actually
wear that codpiece.
Accomplished nothing.
No, he didn't unhook the leg straps on his parachute harness.
Yeah. You don't think they didn't focus group how that looked on him?
No, I think the codpiece was the one good decision he made. I will defend him on that because based on the number of unnecessary wars he started, I don't think he has much in that area. I think that area need to be beefed up a little bit, I'm guessing.
It gave Chris Matthews a thrill.
Yeah. Lots of things give Chris Matthews a thrill.
Look at that!
Fire it up! Look at that lump!
Chicks love this war!
God.
Yeah.
But he was walking like an arthritic chimp because
of the straps.
You're supposed to
that accentuated his package.
Your leg straps when you
I love
when
Chris.
You get out of the
plane. I really do. I love Chris Matthews, but I know some of the stuff he blurts out. I just remember back then. What was the thing he said? Oh, look at him. Look at him. He looks like, you know, Commander, he looks like he served. I mean, he didn't serve, but he looks like.
Wow. It's dress up time. Wow. It's hot.
What a great costume. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. All right. So a Romney spokesperson said, it's unfortunate that President Obama would prefer to use what was a good date for all Americans as a cheap political ploy and an opportunity to distort Governor Romney's strong policies on the war on terror.
What? Strong policies?
Wait for it. President Obama's feckless foreign policy has emboldened our adversaries. What? weakened our allies and threatens to break faith with our military. Really?
He doesn't have one shred of proof to back up that statement. Not one.
I mean, I literally, and then the next paragraph
Please
is,
elaborate.
Romney was scheduled to appear today in New York City with firefighters and Mayor Giuliani to mark the anniversary of bin Laden, which neither of them had anything to do with getting bin Laden.
And Romney said he wouldn't have done.
Oh. Yeah, the president said, I hardly think you've seen any excessive celebration taking place here. I think that people, the American people, rightly remember that we as a country accomplished in bringing to justice somebody who killed over 3,000 of our citizens.
Well, except there were people from other countries in the towers.
Yeah, and I love that Romney had made it about money back in 2007. He said, it's not worth moving heaven and earth and spending billions of dollars just to try to catch
heavens.
One Good person,
heavens.
That money could go to Bain Capital. Why would we?
Yeah, it could go to my Cayman bank account.
Yeah.
My marvelous campaign.
Just to kill one guy? That's why. I'm a businessman. That's not a good use
Plus,
of funds.
I wouldn't have used SEAL Team 6. I would have used SEAL Team 5. They're cheaper.
Yeah.
Or maybe 4 or 3.
Boy, yeah. Speaking of business, how much cheaper would it have been to use 6 Navy SEALs in one bullet back in whatever instead of a whole war in Afghanistan? And Iraq.
And,
Iraq had absolutely nothing to do with
9/11. Really? Thank you.
9/11.
No problem.
I'd forgotten that.
WMDs. Yeah. Other than that, stunning success. If killing hundreds of thousands of people is...
I love that Romney, by the way, said, when asked if he would give him the same order, he said, well, of course I would. Of course I would have.
Of course I would.
Then he said, even Jimmy Carter would have given that order. Yeah, do we have that? Go ahead.
Even Jimmy Carter would have given that order.
Rich guy horse face laugh. Obviously, he meant that as a jab at, you know, is Democrats in general and, you know, Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Blah, blah, blah. Invoking Carter may actually cloud Romney's message.
Yeah.
Carter demonstrated how dangerous, politically perilous such decisions can be when he ordered an attempt to rescue American hostages in Iran. The mission ultimately embarrassed the nation, ending with the death of 8 servicemen, the loss of several American helicopters. The hostage crisis lasts more than a year and helped deny Carter a second term.
Yeah.
If the bin Laden raid had gone similarly, Obama would have been badly damaged by a military debacle on top of, you know.
I always thought that that raid was sabotaged. I mean, because the Reaganauts were, you know, dealing with the Iranians to delay the release of the hostages.
Right, but they're right. By bringing up Carter, you're going, yes, and this was spectacularly successful, and that's the difference. Thank you for pointing out his confidence again. By contrast with anyone.
Why would he have to talk about his record when he's running for president, for Pete's sake?
That just seems rude.
Yeah.
Kevin in Chicago on Bin Laden. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Can you imagine what today would be like if it had been George Bush who had gotten them?
Yeah, oh yeah.
There had been parades.
Oh, yeah.
No, he'd be king for life.
Today would have been a national holiday.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Dick Cheney would have been at the monument in Mount Rushmore trying to etching his face on it.
With a chisel. Yeah. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. This headline we have to get to. Depressed Bin Laden thought about Al-Qaeda name change.
I don't like it anymore. How about Happy Clappy Fun Time? No?
Oh, my God.
How about the Mickey Mouse Club? Oh, that's taken. Okay.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Stephen in Chicago. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Stephanie, with your fine ask me something self.
Wow.
In 07, Romney said he wouldn't put the resources or the policy in place to do what the president did. I mean, you don't just wake up one morning and decide, hey, I'm going to kill Bin Laden.
Right.
And can you imagine him in the Situation Room between flip-flopping between gold, no gold. The SEALs choppers would have ran out of fuel and fell out the sky by the time he made up his mind.
Yeah. And, Stephen, as we were talking about, it was everybody involved, so it was very risky. It was a gutsy call. It could very easily have gone badly and
well,
been a disaster.
One of the helicopters did crash.
Yeah. Exactly. I love the description of that. No one breathed for however many minutes in the Situation Room. Just Hillary. What was that? Stop it! Oh my God, it's tense in here.
I don't think Hillary has that kind of sense of humor. Just saying.
Gene, everybody focus. Stop it, Gene in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
How am I supposed to follow something like that?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Did you see Lawrence O'Donnell cover Paul Ryan last night?
I don't watch anything but current television, and neither do you.
Oh, that's right. I heard about it from somebody else.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, he showed a clip of Paul Ryan talking at the Atlas Society, which he went on and on, showed him talking about how Ayn Rand is his, you know, complete, total reason for going into politics and how he requires it for reading, blah, blah. And now he's issued a statement saying that he does not follow that atheist, Ayn Rand.
Yes, yes. He's...
So how do we get the word out about what a huge liar he is?
Well, you just did. So there you go. See?
Yep.
And it happened on current TV. Okay.
And on fine radio stations across the country.
Exactly. Let's go to Bud in Seattle. Hey, Bud, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, what occurred to me listening to Romney about all the topics that he flip-flops on is basically the guy leads from behind.
Yep.
And in every way. And the other thing is, too, is that if he's making a lot of issue about, you know, like accruing a lot of wealth and people are jealous of it, well, it'd be really nice if he can contribute just a little bit more to the care of all the vets that come back from, you know, the war mangled up.
Yeah.
I work at the VA at the Seattle
Well, Bud, you're right. I mean, on the gay marriage issue, on anything that we just were talking about, Mitt Romney always does what he thinks is politically safe at the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does, and you're absolutely right. I don't think he would have made this call. I think it was too politically risky.
Yeah, it's just like, and the guy's saying, well, if Obama's over his head and he can't lead, well, this guy leads totally. He's reactive. He leads from behind. It's just like
following is the new leadership.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like he has to watch Obama, and Obama has to show him the way.
Yeah.
You know, and then he has to react to it. And it's just like people. It's like a bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. It's just like. Leads from behind.
Yep,
that's the only way that he can lead. You know?
Yep, exactly. I love, because everything, I mean, he just literally tries to, when he got, you know, the last time he was caught on tape saying, I don't care about the very poor.
Right.
So now he's just like, you know, like he names trees and lakes and objects that he, and pancakes that he likes. Now he's just like, oh, I want to help everyone.
I want to help the poor. I want to help the middle class get the kinds of jobs that raise their income. Let's focus on helping the people who need the help the most.
I love the poor now. I love the poor. I love the middle class. I will love everybody.
He's a tool. Oh, by the way,
yes?
Ken in Cleveland pointed out that it is the one-year anniversary of...
The Bada-Bud. The Bada-Bud. The bada bud.
Yeah. Okay. Which is why I'm wearing my bedazzled Obama shirt.
I know. I'm going to change Al-Qaeda to the He-Man Woman Haters Club. And I will assign myself the Arabic name Al-Falfa.
What on woman? I started that.
Al-Falfa?
Al-Falfa.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah, that's true. And why did we do that Obama bud jingle? Because... because it's a funny name. All right.
The Bada Bud. The Bada Bud.
Okay.
The Bada Bud.
Okay. We'll get to this depressed Bin Laden story because it's hilarious. Okay. There's kind of a sad picture of him. Oh, this is just not going well. Andrew in San Francisco, you're on.
Kind of looks like that frog on the deck yesterday.
Hey, Steph. How you
doing?
Hello,
Andrew.
Oh, okay, so this is going to be the stupidest thing that Mitt Romney has said. We're not going to move heaven and earth to go and get one guy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because that's all so in the past. It's baggage. We need to move forward,
yes,
right?
Right.
I mean, let's just do away with law enforcement, investigating crimes and stuff like that. What a stupid thing to say.
Yes, among other things, yeah. He said yes. Anne in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think what you all have been talking about are called Mitt flips.
Yes, Mitt flips. Etchy, sketchy, wishy-washy. That's
yeah,
right.
I think instead of going through it, we can just say it's a Mitt flip.
Yep, yep. Etchy, sketchy, flippy, floppy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to play that jingle again today.
Yep.
All right. So Zach Walls, awesome. He's the guy. He's the everybody remembers this moment on the was the floor of the Iowa Senate, State Senate. I can't remember.
No, I think it was just before a city council meeting in Iowa, and he was just so eloquent saying that the sexual orientation of his two moms has nothing to do with the content of his character.
Well, it's funny you should say that. He has a book called My Two Moms.
Whoa!
He's coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What are the odds?
Stephanie Miller.
Sometimes they look cool.
On planet Douchelon.
Lovely.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Jim, that was a very good observation about Bin Laden.
I'm just so glad he didn't live to witness the death of Whitney Houston, because I would have broken him.
Yeah, that would have really been tragic. All right, 34 minutes after
and
the hour.
I will always love you.
Okay.
He was a Whitney Houston fan, apparently.
Yes, I understand.
And the B-52s.
Yes, who knew?
Not the actual planes
all
dropping
right.
bombs on him, but the band.
Kids, this is, you may have remembered this is an internet sensation. It was YouTube's number one political video of 2011. This was 19-year-old Zach Walls.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Zach Walls. I'm a sixth-generation Iowan and an engineering student at the University of Iowa, and I was raised by two women. My biological mom, Terry, told her grandparents that she was pregnant, that the artificial insemination had worked, and they wouldn't even acknowledge it. It actually wasn't until I was born and they succumbed to my infantile cuteness that they broke down and told her that they were thrilled to have another grandson. Unfortunately, neither of them lived to see her marry her partner Jackie of 15 years when they wed in 2009. My younger sister and only sibling was born in 1994. We actually have the same anonymous donor, so we're full siblings, which is really cool for me. You know, and I guess the point is that our family really isn't so different from any other Iowa family. You know, when I'm home, we go to church together, we eat dinner, we go on vacations. But, you know, we have our hard times too, we get in fights. You know, actually my mom, Perry, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2000. It is a devastating disease that put her in a wheelchair, so we've had our struggles. But, you know, we're Iowans. We don't expect anyone to solve our problems for us. We'll fight our own battles. We just hope for equal and fair treatment from our government.
Wowee. Wowee. Yeah. All right. Zach Walls, author of the new book, My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family, joins us now. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to be back.
Zach, let me just say your infantile cuteness has blossomed into full-blown adult cuteness.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Terrific book, and, you know, and what great timing in the midst of, you know, this whole political season. What first of all, motivated that testimony at the time?
Yeah,
that was the Iowa House Judiciary Committee.
The Iowa House Judiciary Committee, that's exactly right. So you have to remember, this was back in early 2011. This was in just kind of the tail end of that string of suicides we saw that started with Tyler Clementi out here in New York. And then, unfortunately, was related to a number, dozens, of suicides of young gay and lesbian kids. And so at that moment, you know, it was a very dark hour for, I think, a lot of us, and especially right after, this was right after the 2010 elections. And so it was a moment, you know, we were all very tense, and when I had this opportunity to maybe stand up and share my story and maybe make a little bit of a difference, you know, I jumped on it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You said something that really struck me when you talk about the in the midst of that rash of suicides. You said we were in the midst of an unspoken Holocaust.
That's right.
And you just said silence was simply no longer an option. That is just so, you know, on point. And I think it also, when you were watching, you know, rights being stripped from fellow citizens, it was your family, not just fellow citizens.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Stephanie. It was one of those instances where you're standing there and you're wondering, what has this come to? You know, you were living in a state where you had people who are ostensibly supposed to be in office protecting our rights, trying to strip them away. Beyond that, you know, there's this cognitive dissonance that prevented them from seeing the effects that these policies were having on our country's young children. I mean, in Iowa, just over 3 weeks ago, a young man named Kenneth Weishun, 14-year-old in northwestern Iowa, committed suicide after coming out just about 2 months ago as a young gay boy. And before he'd come out, was very popular with a lot of his friends at school, but after he came out, was the subject of relentless bullying. Teachers refused to step in, and lawmakers simply fail to recognize the impact that these policies have on the perception of LGBT people, and then subsequently on how they're perceived in our everyday society.
Well, Zach, you have such an interesting perspective, because you are straight, correct?
Yes, correct.
But you know what it's like to feel different just because you had two moms. What was that like, if you could describe it growing up?
Yeah, you know, I write about that in the book. Even though I'm not gay, I do know what it feels like to be in the closet, and that's a very painful experience. It's physically burdensome. You feel like you're trying to be something or somebody who you aren't, and that's hard. You know, so growing up, there were definitely differences. You know, I'll never forget watching in 2004 the Republican National Convention and watching, you know, Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum stand up and say how, you know, same-sex couples were antithetical to American values, and being in the eighth grade and hearing that and having this kind of realization that there are in fact people in this country who legitimately do not want you or your family to exist, it's very powerful. It's a very terrifying revelation to have at that age. And beyond that, you know, there were definitely, you know, at school I was a target, you know, in a lot of respects. And it was something that it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always fun having lesbian parents. But at the end of the day, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, Zach, you know, you raise a good point, and that's what I was saying is, you know, speech does matter, because you're absolutely right. You know, when you look at these kids committing suicide, when you have leaders of Republican Party like that, you know, basically telling people you can't, I don't believe that you should be able to marry the person you love. I don't believe you should be able to grow up and serve your country. I mean, why do you think they think they're less than and they're never going to have a happy life? I mean,
yeah, you know, and it's important too. You know, there's certainly a very, very fine line to walk. You know, I'm a very strong believer in the First Amendment, even for those, and especially even for those whom I disagree with. And I think it's incredibly important to remember at all times. But I think this lack of understanding really does come from a place of two things. One, fear, and second, ignorance. And I don't mean ignorance in any kind of hateful or shaming way, but seriously, like literally lack of experience with LGBT people. I think these are, you know, largely folks, these advocates of these anti-family policies, are coming from a position where, you know, they believe that gay people are engaging in a lifestyle choice. They believe that they are choosing, you know, to spend, like, you know, a lifestyle that will cause an eternity in hell. And they can't understand why anybody would make that quote-unquote decision. Now, it's ridiculous, right. Obviously. I don't need to explain to you guys that, you know, attraction is never a choice, whether you're gay, straight, whatever. You know, none of us have any control over who we're attracted to, or else Newt Gingrich would still be on wife number one, and there wouldn't have been a blue little dress.
That's right.
That caused a whole firestorm in the 90s.
With the political zingers.
But, you know, sometimes I think it's hard to remember that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just quoting Mitt Romney earlier, Zach. You know, back in 2005, he called the marriage ruling a blow against the family, and he said, you know, some gay couples are actually having children born to them. I mean, this is the party of small government and keeping, you know, the government out of your personal life and your personal medical decisions. I mean, really?
Yeah, no, and I would point out that if he only had that revelation in 2004, he's a little behind the times. You know, I was born in 91, and, you know, and I'm certainly not even, but not by any, you know, sense of the imagination, the first child born to same-sex parents. There have been a lot of kids with LGBT parents all over the country for a very long time.
There's over 2 million, I
believe. That's correct.
Now.
That's correct. And even though I'm certainly probably part of the largest generation thus far, largest slash oldest, but, you know, I'm by no means the first.
Well, and, you know, unfortunately, you proved the right wing's point that gay people can't raise children. You're an environmental engineering student, Eagle Scout. You scored in the 99th percentile on the ACT. You're obviously not well-spoken.
Yeah, no. No, definitely. I mean, look, here's the thing. If gay people keep having babies, God forbid, we might have, you know, a bunch of articulate, young, successful people. It's a really scary future, Stephanie. Yeah.
It's very dark,
Zach.
Dangerous
stuff.
It's come to my attention they're allowing homosexuals to drive automobiles.
God, next thing they'll want to be able to vote.
I know, right?
Well, you know, I mean, Zach, this is something, though, I think, you know, when you look at the fact that marriage equality now has majority support in this country, I think you made a very important point. It's people like you. I came out just, you know, when was it, a year or two ago, mm-hmm. finally, because, you know, I think that it crosses partisan lines. My mom, I always joke about, is in my 89-year-old Republican mom, you know, when I told her, this was many, many years ago, but she burst into tears and hugged me, you know. She just thought I was a loser all that
time. That couldn't find a man. Yeah.
You're not a loser. You're the other L word.
Oh, thank God. You're not as big a loser as I thought. But it's a human thing, right? I mean, it's like you say, it's about family. It's about love. It's not. Look at what happened in New York State, right? It's not partisan.
Yeah, no, for sure. Anybody who wants to stand up on a soapbox and say that, you know, advancing LGBT rights is going to cause the end of the family clearly is simply not looking at the facts. The data on this is extraordinarily clear. You know, I was an environmental engineering student when this whole thing started, and, you know, we're trained to objectively analyze data because, obviously, you can't just take into account some of the data. You have to take into account all the data or else that bridge is going to fall down, and nobody wants that unless you're Republican who's voting against infrastructure spending.
Oh, maybe. I love you so much.
But, look, I mean, if you sit down and you analyze this stuff, it's extraordinarily clear. And you know, this doomsday scenario they keep talking about, you know, it's unfolding in Iowa. You know, divorce rates are down. Straight people are still married. Davenport has not yet been swallowed up by the pit of hell.
No.
You know, it's really scary stuff, guys.
Yeah. Zach, here's the odd, magical thing that's happened in this interview. I have now gone from gay to questioning. Just talking to you. So that's something. So that happened.
Yeah.
My Two Moms is the name of the book. It is fabulous. Zach, I know you got lots of interviews to do. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Great talking again.
All right.
Thanks, Zach.
There he goes. Aw. Oh my God.
See what happens when you have gay moms?
I mean,
that
really?
Happens.
That happens.
Yeah.
So that happened. Yeah, I mean, you gotta read this
he
book.
He is an amazing kid. You know what? His moms have got to be so proud of him.
Well, you know, one of the things that sums it up here, it says, this is a book for anyone who's ever felt like an outsider. That covers almost all of us, doesn't it? Look at our little Island of Misfit Toys here. We're a little... Island of Liberal Misfit Toys. All right.
And we all don't have it together as much as Zach Walls does.
No.
Good Lord.
And apparently we've never had depression as bad as Bin Laden, so we'll talk about that.
Oh,
he's so sad. We'll talk about
he's
that.
He's a sad panda.
Oh, knows. He has a sad.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the one-year anniversary of Audubon as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Down. 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 It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Bin Laden, a B-52s fan. Who knew?
I'm not going to dance this mess around. And I was going to change my name to Al Halfa, but I've decided to call myself Fred Schneider.
This cave is as big as a well.
And it's about to set sail.
Yeah, I don't know why it's hilarious on the one-year anniversary of Abbottabad. It's just a picture of him with a sad, depressed Bin Laden. Who is it? Brennan was talking about this famous speech. Assistant for Homeland Security.
Yep.
Ever wish you could escape your troubles by changing your name and moving away? Oh.
Computer says yes.
Oh, yes. Osama Bin Laden knew the feeling. Hunkered down in his Abbottabad compound, Bin Laden anguished as Al-Qaeda suffered disaster after disaster.
Such a shanda.
Yeah, I'm sure he said such a shanda many times.
Oh, yeah, because he loves the Yiddish.
This is a whole mishpucha. He encouraged its operatives to flee to areas away from aircraft photography and bombardment, and even thought about changing the name of the terrorist network. Oh, I see. He was thinking about rebranding.
Yeah. I think I'd call it Al Green. I'm so in love with you.
Let's watch Bodyguard again. Jim, that was a good point. Is that, Whitney Houston's death would have crushed him.
Oh, Whitney. Why did you leave me?
Bin Laden also worried about recruiting terrorist talent. As you know, that's so hard to find good terrorist help these days. It really is. It's harder than to find a dressage trainer, really.
You have Donald Trump conduct all his interviews. You're fired.
He worried about...
But I haven't even given you my resume yet.
As U.S. strikes killed some of his veterans, fretting that the rise of lower leaders who are not as experienced would lead to the repeat of mistakes. Yeah, they had some of those, boobs later on that... the underwear bomber and the
and the number two bomber that kept getting killed.
Yeah, the one guy didn't blow up in his pants or something. I don't know. They were not the upper tier.
Right.
Yeah.
And some of them said that they were affiliated with Al Qaeda, but they really had no.
I'm Al Qaeda-ish.
My uncle's name is Al Qaeda.
It's like the later bands, They're like, no, you're not one of the original. You're like the later.
Yeah, it's like whoever's touring for Journey now. It's like none of you were in the original Journey.
Yeah, you're not.
Well,
really.
No, it's just that they've replaced the singer.
Right.
I think everyone else is the same.
Bin Laden himself. Oh, by the way, I love this. It's more about how the president's policy was correct. Bin Laden agreed that a large portion of the Muslims around the world have lost their trust in Al-Qaeda. So damaged is Al-Qaeda's image that Bin Laden even considered changing its name. One of the reasons, as Bin Laden himself said, U.S. officials have largely stopped using the phrase war on terror in the context of not wanting to provoke Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So this is proving the point that the Bush administration policy was making things worse.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. I wish I was there for one of the spitballing sessions.
I think I would change the name to Al Gore.
No. Let's go to Ron in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
Ron.
Can I apologize?
Yes, please.
Because on your commercial, I switched over to a Daily Rundown.
How dare you?
Back, though.
All right.
Okay. And Dan Senser was on George Bush, former president, I mean, advisor. And I'm sick of them saying about how this guy was assassinated.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, John Kennedy was assassinated. Robert mm-hmm. Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. This guy was brought to justice.
Yes, thank you.
And Dan Senser and the Republicans act like they lost an ally. Hey, here's a message from Dick Cheney. Hey, some. Every election year, we need a tape. Can you flip one over to me and Dick so we can skip?
What? I'm not really sure what he said, but
it didn't sound good.
I don't.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we
got an F-bomb.
Yeah, I think
okay.
we did.
All right, Ron.
Courtney, did you get that?
Okay. Ron in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hi. The reason why I called was because you were talking about Ben Laden, the anniversary of his his being brought to justice.
Yeah.
Well, years prior to that, when George W. Bush was in office, there was an individual that wrote a book. He was, I believe, an Army sniper that actually had Bin Laden in his crosshairs at one time and was waiting the order to engage the target.
Yeah, let me guess. Bush was bicycling? What was he doing?
I don't know what Bush was doing. He might have been chopping wood down in Crawford, Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember someone made the decision that they needed him alive. That would be a better propaganda tool.
Right. Well, here's my point. If we were trying to get this man and we had somebody that actually had him in his crosshairs, we could have taken him out a long time ago under George Bush's presidency.
Yes, but then you wouldn't have been able to start the unnecessary war in Iraq.
Right. But, you know, he was our guy, Bin Laden was, when we were throwing the Soviet Union out of Afghanistan. I mean, he was going on tour to, you know.
I'm
going to
guess that he was coloring on Ruggie. And eating a grape sucker.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. Okay. That
could happen.
Yeah. Deborah in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Bush as well. Hi, Deb.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I saw you up in Kent, Washington last year.
Yay. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, the Republicans are always talking about money, 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 money. We have to cut, we have to cut, we have to cut. Well, they keep arguing about everything. I would like to know how much the photo op with the Mission Accomplished banner, in order to be able to fly Bush over there and have him stand up and do his little song and dance puppet show.
Exactly.
Cost compared to the mission to actually get Bin Laden. I would like to know what the difference is.
Yeah, the puppet show. I like that. Puppet show. President Obama yesterday.
I hardly think that you've seen any excessive celebration taking place here.
That's true.
Somebody's made the point. If it had been Bush, are you kidding me? This would be a national holiday.
Yeah.
There'd be a, you know, Macy's Day parade with like a Bin Laden float with an eye missing. And
Bush flying onto that aircraft carrier with the Mission Accomplished banner. That was an excessive celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of something
or
not accomplished.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ed in Brooklyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ed.
Good morning. How are you?
Yo. 718.
Yeah. Listen, I find it very ironic that Horseface Mitt Romney is meeting with Rudy today.
Yeah.
Because Rudy is largely responsible for the intense loss of life of firefighters on 9/11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wayne Barrett, I'm sure you're familiar with who he is, from The Village Voice, wrote a very important book a few years ago called Grand Illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the points that he made in the book was that Rudy didn't spend the money or the time or trouble to have the firefighters get on the same radio frequency with the police.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's that, and that he put the command center in the World Trade Building against, you know, a lot of advice to the contrary.
Precisely, another great point that he makes in the book. But the point is that the firefighters didn't know what the police knew, that the first tower had gone down, to get the heck out of the second tower when they were running into it.
Yeah. And can you even believe that Rudy Giuliani is accusing the president of politicizing 9/11, and getting the guy finally that did it? I mean,
he didn't even care about this type of topic until 9/11 occurred, and then he saw that he could make political hay out of it.
Yep.
That was the upshot of that.
Yep.
And it's just another example of Romney not doing his homework and being tone deaf.
Yep, there you go. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World, and we have David Schuster from Current TV, the most interesting man in the world.
Yes, indeed.
Coming up as well on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, get it. Check it out. Tickets going fast. Minneapolis almost sold out. Next month, Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I in Minneapolis, May 12th. Next week. Is it next weekend? Yes. Not this weekend. Next weekend, May 12th.
Yes.
Get it. Hurry. Boston in June, L.A. Everything's going fast. Get it. Go. Particularly since the cannibal shrimp invasion has begun.
The what?
Quick, everybody, arm yourselves with lemon and cocktail sauce.
What?
There's an influx of jumbo-sized shrimp, Jim. It's increased 10 times in the last year. There's shrimp-eating shrimps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ew.
They've been spotted in waters from North Carolina to Texas.
Yeah, but those shrimp have been soaking in oil and Corexit for a few years now.
Scientists say the Asian tiger shrimp, that's what they're called.
Hmm.
Particularly fearsome, the Asian tiger mom shrimps. They're very very bossy and very... I don't know. Scientists ask that anyone who spots a tiger shrimp to report its location.
Yeah. Okay. Underwater?
Oh. Yeah, it's in this lake.
Bring a cocktail fork? Or...
Tartar... We are the Asian tiger shrimp.
Tartar sauce.
What?
Tartar sauce.
Yes.
That'll help.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you the breaking pathetic news. Just my life, you know.
All right.
I went to the eye doctor yesterday.
Oh, for floaties.
Yeah, I have floaties in this eye.
Yeah.
So this is not really funny, but you know how a lot of times this show is the place where dreams go to die, including mine.
Yeah.
But now one dream could be coming true, and that is that I could be getting cuddled the guide horse because I have to go have a glaucoma test.
No, you know what that means. You got glaucoma.
You get some medical marijuana.
Dude,
seriously.
I'm like, glaucoma.
You get the munchies so bad.
I have to go to another
dude.
Test because there's some nerve or something. And
you probably could weigh like 100 pounds.
Well, the floaties are just an age thing. He's like, yeah, get used to that. And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, how come they're only in one eye? He goes, oh, you'll get them in the other one. I'm like, okay, thanks.
You'll eventually.
Oh, and by the way, you might have glaucoma. What?
How long has it been since you've been to the eye doctor?
I don't know. A while.
Oh, well,
he doesn't think I have it. He thinks, but I need to go have the test. I'm like, well, this is just turning out to be... That's the only upside, is I may get Cuddles, the little mini guide horse with the blue eyes and the sneakers.
Can you tell the doctor that I have glaucoma?
I'll just say I gave it to everyone here at the show.
Yeah, you know, I need a prescription because I've got guacamole. No.
we all need to be high
guacamole.
All the time. Mm. All right.
What, we aren't?
Hmm?
I thought we were supposed to be.
Oops. All right. So that's the pathetic news from my... Because, you know, my sad spiral into bitter... single, childless, elderly, loser, shut-in-dom continues.
Hmm.
Okay.
This just in. Mindan has decided to rename his organization Al Schneider.
Oh.
After Pat Harrington from One Day at a Time.
Or Al Franken.
Huh? All right. We speak of Bin Laden was depressed. Apparently he had a sad.
Poor little fella.
He was thinking about changing the name of Al-Qaeda to something,
peppier.
Zippier. A little more.
Al Pizza Hut.
Okay, let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, Mama. Two things.
Yes.
One thing just hit me is we should get used to it. We're all going to be working for Zach someday.
I know, right? Zach Walls. Last hour. How awesome was he?
I mean, maybe I could cut his grass or something. But
something.
That guy is so on top of everything.
Yep.
It was amazing. But the second thing is with Mittens. Piling up at Rudy. Remember what Rudy said on 9/11, watching people jump to their death. Thank God George Bush is president.
My God, I know. Yeah, exactly. That was really, I know exactly, how incongruous was that? Like, yes, this happened on his watch. Oh, thank God he's president.
Because, Bush kind of let it happen.
Oh, boy.
You follow through on the presidential daily briefings.
Let's dive into
right.
the...
Yeah.
All right. I barbecued that by accident.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You covered your ass now.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, what? Rush Limbaugh.
Ew.
Saying something completely the opposite of the truth.
That's so unusual.
Mm.
If I have this right...
No, you don't.
You don't.
I know I have this right.
No.
They had Osama ready to go for like 2.5 or 3 weeks. They couldn't convince Obama to go.
Mm-hmm. What?
If somebody had to tell him they were going to lose their window if they didn't move now. It was Obama who was reluctant to go. They had to push him to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Where did you hear that?
First of all.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes. And,
you're a lying sack
okay.
of crap. You're
a lying sack of crap. I've got this right. No. No, you don't.
No. No, you don't. You don't. That is completely the opposite of the truth.
That's a lie.
According to everybody involved in it, they were saying, remember, they went around the room to take it, and almost everyone said no.
Except for Biden.
Yeah, don't go. And
all right, well,
it was
Biden
the president
said,
Biden said it's a big effing deal. We got to do this.
Yeah. So,
and it was a big effing deal, actually.
So Rush Limbaugh lied to his audience again.
Yes. What? All right.
Hello, I lied.
Jonah Goldberg.
You know, if we didn't have the Clinton scandal, we wouldn't have Jonah Goldberg in our faces.
I make that same sound every time I turn the page in the L.A. Times to the Jonah Goldberg column.
Yeah,
they
fired Robert Scheer and hired that.
I sometimes read a couple lines and I'm just like, ah.
And his Jonah Goldberg's mom is the one who convinced Linda Tripp to save the blue or.
Yes.
Yeah, something.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And his mom famously wouldn't go on the Today Show with me. She would only go on after I was on.
Lucianne Goldberg?
Yeah, you're supposed to go on together.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not going on with her.
No, she said, no, I'm not going on with her.
I'm not going on with her. Besides, I have to go out and get more cigarettes.
Can somebody light my road flare? Okay. No!
The President of the United States, who said he wasn't going to spike the football and all this, we shouldn't gloat about it, running campaign ads, gloating about it, and saying the other guy isn't good enough to do the tough things that I did, which I think is, one, reprehensible. Second of all...
Do you think it's reprehensible?
Well, I do. I do it going by Obama's own standards, I think it's reprehensible.
So, reprehensible. To politicize this in any way.
Right? How could you possibly politicize a trivial thing like that?
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. Wowee. All right. Eric Bolling on the 5.
These heroic men and women do more for freedom, more for America in a day than you will ever do, sir. Don't insult them by talking about schools preying on them. Huh? They take live rounds. They deal with roadside bombs. They risk their lives, sir. They'll be okay with Dean Wormer. And by the way, how about you stop insulting Americans who see right through you while you deliver a left-wing campaign speech while pretending to give a damn about their service? And one more thing. Quit using our military as a photo op. It's unbecoming of a commander-in-chief.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
President Bush, who routinely used the troops as props, including for the puppet show, as we talked about on the aircraft carrier. Wow.
Hey, look, I got an injury, too. I'm wounded.
Wow. Oh, that was quite the little lecture.
How
commander-in-chief.
Dare you?
Listen to me,
sir. Let me tell you how it's done.
Whatever, Eric Bolling. Okay. Peter Johnson, whose name is Peter Johnson.
Peter Johnson. Isn't that lame Richard?
Fox Business.
The point is that the justices looked at this and they say, well, reasonable suspicion. All this is a mirror of the federal law. Mm-hmm. Why can't police officers look into a car and say, God, these people don't look like they belong here?
Mm-hmm. Racial because it's racial profiling. God. Racial profiling.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, they used to do that a lot in the South.
Yes,
you don't
yes, indeed.
You people don't belong here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Peter LaBarbera, Americans for it's from the Americans for Truth about homosexuality.
Yes.
Oh, this is.
Guessing the truth is.
He must have done a lot of research.
Uh-huh. Oh, he does a lot of research.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There was a time when anti-communism wasn't popular. And Reagan is known for that. That's his greatest accomplishment, stopping Soviet communism. Rick Santorum went very far. And what's interesting, Janet, is the homosexual magazine The Advocate seems very concerned that Rick Santorum got so far. So I think there's a lot of silent support for our position. The media and Hollywood and academia are 1,000% for perversion, for homosexuality. But the silent majority, I believe, still opposes
silent
them. And
majority.
I think the support for so-called gay rights is a mile wide and an inch deep. I think if you had a candidate like Santorum that explains the issue, explains how religious freedom is going to be trampled over by this tiny minority of homosexual activists who want to push their agenda at any cost, I think Americans would rally to our position.
It's going to be trampled over by an army of tiny army of homosexuals in fabulous footwear.
That's right.
I'm going to go to all the raves and protest all the homosexuality that's going on there, and I'll bring my own glow stick.
Oh, did you see this article in the New York Times? Homophobic? Maybe you're gay.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Huh. There seems to be a study. Why are political and religious figures who campaign against gay rights so often implicated in sexual encounters with same-sex
coincidence.
Partners? One theory
is that
I love the New York Times. One theory is that they're gay.
Yeah.
Oh, red boy.
One theory is that homosexual urges, when repressed out of shame or fear, can be expressed as homophobia. It's a compelling theory. Now there's scientific reason to believe it. In this month's issue of Journal of Personality and Social Psychology.
Ooh, that sounds like a good read. That's a bathroom read if I ever heard one.
For Larry Craig it is.
They
provide... See what I did there?
I did.
We provide empirical evidence that homophobia can result at least in part from the suppression of same-sex desire.
Looking at you, Peter LaBarbera.
Oh, I had a fabulous idea. Yesterday we did the story, the war against nuns.
Yes.
You know, the Pope Benny and the Jets is saying that they're focusing too much on the poor.
Oh, but he's weird and wonderful.
Too much on the poor.
Yeah. Well, Jesus never talked about the poor.
And not enough of about gay marriage and abortion.
Yeah, Jesus only talked about homos.
No, not at all. Anyway, the point is,
kidding.
So he wants to
make... Unless they're homophobes.
He wants a makeover.
They shall run the Republican Party.
He wants a makeover of the whole the American Nun Association. You know who's for the job? Marcus Bachman could do extreme nun makeover.
Sure.
Oh, what color white is that on your habit? Is that bone white? I don't think so.
I don't think you should make a habit of that outfit.
Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Doesn't this corn dog look good in my mouth?
You do not look cute in that hat. I hope we don't make a habit out of it. See what he's got there?
Wow.
I'm just saying he's the man for that job, you know, to do the extreme nun makeover. All right, we finished with Brian Fisher, Focal Point Show on American Family Radio.
To Barack Obama, the entire United States of America is one big, giant Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution for Barack Obama is the membership charter for this giant Ku Klux Klan. And I honestly believe that this is how Barack Obama sees the United States of America, one big, giant Ku Klux Klan meeting. And it's his job to punish the Ku Klux Klan, which is the United States of America, in his worldview.
And I think you are a big, giant idiot.
These family radio shows not widely listened to, are they?
No, I don't think so.
Especially with that hum in the background.
Yeah. It gave me a headache.
So much for the audio quality.
No, but you know what? It's important that we know that they are out there and that some people are listening to them, because some of these views may become, you know, approach mainstream. And
sure.
So it's important to know what we're up against.
All right. That concludes another
Obama thought his mother was the Ku Klux Klan. It's so obvious.
I think it's the repetition that makes it so entertaining.
I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
Ku Klux Klan.
Okay. 19 minutes.
Maybe you didn't get it the first five times.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee Golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Now I really know, my, I could never let you go.
I'm singing these words phonetically. I do not know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they had no idea what they were singing. Seriously.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Joe in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joe.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to ask about the... Republicans' audacity to claim that Obama was politicizing the death of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And that if George Bush had done it when he was in power, they would have used that as a green light to destroy the Constitution and institutionalize all their cruddy criminal, you know, policies of torture and rendition and the elimination of habeas corpus for all citizens, claiming it was such a successful means of, you know, keeping national security and everyone would have been subjected to their fascist rule, along with, you know, unrestricted secret military contracts and so on.
Yep.
That they clearly would have done that if they had that kind of success.
Well, yeah.
But they did destroy the Patriot Act has dismantled the Bill of Rights, essentially. You know, you can be arrested now. And for any reason, yeah, at any time, and held indefinitely.
They politicized 9/11 to no end, and to say you're politicizing, essentially, like I said, competence on finally delivering justice for 9/11 is incredible. Bill in Texas on the same subject. Hi, Bill.
Yes, Stephanie. We're more or less a political news black hole down here in Bush country. Thanks to you and Current TV, we're finally getting the truth of the matter. Speaking of Bush...
In Texas, they probably just celebrate George Bush's amazing victory in getting bin Laden, don't they?
Oh, yes. This is just... everything down here is Bush. Some of the local stations down here have tried to portray Obama as trying to take over the country like Hitler did in Germany.
Yes, sure. Exactly
there,
like
there
that.
There's one local station down here. It's channel 640 on radio. And the other day, I don't know if I can give his name or not, the commentator. But
doesn't matter.
Michael Berry is his name. And he's trying to be another Bush, Limbaugh wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
And he is... acting like Obama is trying to take over the country like Germany
like,
did.
Yes.
And to Bush...
They're not... You know, analogies are not their strong suit,
no.
I've found, on the right. And, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Jim, is you just think that they really... Just when you think, oh, they wouldn't possibly say something like that. Remember this a year ago when we got bin Laden? Well, I think we can all agree this is George Bush's victory. Somebody... And
no.
I was like, well, yes, we... What? But they literally said that.
Yeah.
You got to give Bush credit. It's like, what? Huh? Why?
So Bush is allowed to...
Because he shut down the bin Laden unit and didn't get him, and so it's really his... What?
So Bush is allowed to spike the football, but Obama isn't. Obama actually gave the order to do the mission.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that. Bob in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie. A little historical perspective on that photo op for Bush.
Yes.
They actually kept that aircraft carrier out for one extra day after their six-month tour with a 5,000-member crew so he can go down to San Diego, jump on that plane, and fly 20 miles off the coast so he can have that photo op.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope people realize that, you know.
Yeah, didn't you love that? Didn't you love that? How they explained that? They explained that too. That Bush got to fly the plane a little bit.
No, he didn't. Not really.
Like he's eight. I'm flying it. No, you're not.
Well, supposedly he flew F-102s in the Air National Guard. I find that hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Carol in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hello.
I really appreciate all you're doing for us. You know, we need somebody to speak up for us here.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. My comment is all the right wing nuts give credit to Romney for handling the Olympics. Okay. My snob remark is anyone could have done it, accomplished the same in the same capacity. It's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
It's, 29 minutes. You did it in French.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, because if that trashy big-lipped slag said it, it might be a little true.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show. You
don't
have big lips.
Thanks, Jim. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
I think it's called damning with faint praise.
Yeah, that's
phone
what
number.
That is.
Toll free from anywhere. Oh, no, dreams die hard. A former Obama administration official says bin Laden wanted to see President Obama assassinated. Instead,
oops.
He got the...
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, he got the... yeah, it is ironic. Instead, he got the Navy SEAL eye test. Instead.
Isn't it ironic?
Better or worse now? Better or worse?
Better or worse?
Oh, no.
Worse. It's much worse.
Much worse
much
now.
Much worse.
Is
very,
that a,
very bad.
Is that a B for Bush? No, no. It's an O for Obama. Bye-bye.
Kablamo.
Bye-bye. Kablamo. Is that a Romney name? Kid name?
Yes, it is. Tag Kablamo.
Okay.
Flern.
All right. Flern. Barbara in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Barbara. I did that wrong. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
I'm calling to request the return of the Abbottabad bumper music in honor of the death anniversary of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, we've already done the dance mix a couple times, but we'll do it again for you. Hang on. We'll get that for you.
Bada-bud. The Bada-bud. The Bada-bud.
Yeah. By the way, Barbara, there is excessive celebration going on here.
Here, too.
Yes.
Here, too. Yes.
We're allowed to spike the football here.
Yes.
Every break.
Yeah, that's right. Now, well, you know, I was in New York for 9/11. Mm-hmm. I know people that lost people. So it's that's what I mean. It just that is a good moment for America, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. I think we mentioned this before that Chris Christie. There, you know, he was so coy, wasn't he, about that? I'm not gonna be vice president. And now he said he could be convinced to join the ticket.
By not, I meant maybe.
Yeah.
He said he might be able to convince me. He's a convincing guy.
That's a huge flip-flop.
Right?
Huge.
Everything else was yours. I really have no interest in being vice president. But if Governor Romney called and asked me to sit down and talk to him about it, I'd listen. Because I think you owe the nominee of your party that level of respect. And who knows what he's going to say. And he might be able to convince me. He's a convincing guy.
Okay, better have a big chair ready.
Mm, yeah. With no arms.
Jeez, can you picture him at the State of the Union address sitting there?
Yeah. Because when Governor Christie sits around at Romney's house, he really sits around his own.
Hey! When he sits around the Capitol, he sits around the Capitol.
Right. I heard he got hit by a car once on the New Jersey Turnpike, didn't have enough gas to get around him because it was a bomb. Okay. Let's go to Jake in Houston.
Baby just blown the bones from your back. Well, not me. You can't find my bones.
Doc. Jake in Houston. Hi, Jake.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to thank you, actually, for having a pretty logical voice on the radio. It's nice to hear.
Like, thank you.
I'm down here in the South, and, man, sometimes it can feel like the Twilight Zone, believe me. Like, everybody's kind of looking at you like, what do you mean you don't hate blacks and gays? What's your problem? You know? Like,
what's wrong with you?
And, like, yeah, and it's, I mean, like, and I wanted to give you an insight on a little bit of, like, what you're dealing with your competition, because I heard you mentioning that earlier. Like, for example, like, a lot of people, especially in the poor areas of the South, do not believe that Barack killed Osama at all.
Oh,
you know,
really?
I mean, their excuse would be like, well, why didn't they release the pictures? And I would tell them, I'd be like, well, because they knew it would incite a lot of people to cause violence with a bunch of bloody photos of their leader, like, on television being broadcast around. And they were like, oh, how convenient. Like, it's just strange to hear. Like, and I just, you know, wanted to call in and let you guys know a little bit of, like...
That's eerie how you channel some of your fellow...
Next you're going to tell me they actually walked on the moon.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really is frustrating because, you know, I was born in Houston and I've traveled around, and it just sometimes really does make you, you know, pretty upset because you feel like you are represented by those people. It's almost like, you know, somebody of another race who's upset. Like, I feel like, you know, speaking on behalf of rednecks, you know, because they upset you so much with the craziest things that they say. Like, I mean,
you're like, thanks, Goober. Thanks for making us look bad again.
Right. I mean, I hate to be like that, but, you know, it's just like, I mean, there's so many people who, you know, like, believe that Barack is actually the devil incarnate,
mm-hmm.
some sort of antichrist,
yes.
you know.
And that's a step up from our last caller that said Hitler, that he's thought,
right,
he's
right.
thought of as, yes.
You know, and I'm
Hitler
just
and or
trying
Satan.
To explain,
yeah.
like, you know, I don't think you can vote out the devil, you know, like, if
yeah.
the most powerful mm-hmm. evil being, if it truly existed, yeah, it came
right.
into power.
Right.
I don't think we could just beat him with, like, a Romney and a Christie campaign.
Right,
like,
Jake, I don't mean to press turnout, but I would just stay home because he's obviously, you know, the evil lord. There's no way.
No,
it doesn't matter what you do.
That's Michael Chertoff. I think his name literally means son of the devil.
He's not going to, you know, your vote's not going to count it anyway. Okay, let's go to Tony in Missouri. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey,
hello.
Donnie, actually. And
Donnie.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I want to talk about Romney basically trying to take credit for the Osama kill and thought of Romney's new campaign slogan, Osama bin Laden. I could have done it, too. Except I didn't and actually wouldn't have.
Yes, that doesn't exactly fit in a bumper sticker. But here was President Obama in 2007.
If we have actionable intelligence about high-value terrorist targets and President Musharraf will not act, we will.
Yeah, remember that right-wing went insane. Yeah. You can't. Mitt Romney said
that. He says he wants to unilaterally go in and potentially bomb a nation which is our friend.
Yes, no, mm-hmm. that's not what he said.
No, not at all.
Yes. And Romney went on to say we shouldn't spend, you know, billions of dollars and move heaven and earth to get one guy.
Yeah, and I don't think we used a single bomb.
No.
No, it was a gunshot.
No.
That's it.
Chuck in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You know, if Bush and Cheney had gotten Bin Laden, the Supreme Court would have voted them for a third term, regardless of what the people want.
Yes, yes.
And also Bush's secret society, the Bone, Skull and Bones Society, have actually taken over this country. We just don't realize it yet.
Mm. Mm.
Enjoy your show.
Okay, thank you. Well, thanks for that buzzkill at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
I've already been skulled and boned. Andy in Florida, sorry.
Excuse not recently.
Me? What?
Oh, hey, can I say that I'm calling from an undisclosed location, not with Dick Cheney?
Yes, all right, thank you.
Well, there's four reasons I think that President Bush didn't care about Osama bin Laden. You know, he said that Osama bin Laden isn't important. I don't know if I can get all of these four things in, but I want to remind people of a little history. You know, they wanted to go into Iraq way before 9/11 ever happened, mm-hmm. you know, because on January 26, 1998, Mr. Rumsfeld and 17 others, members of the Project for a New American Century, right. PNAC, wrote a letter to President Clinton urging the military overthrow of Saddam Hussein's regime, and they said that if we failed to do so, they were candid in asserting a significant portion of the world supply of oil would be put at hazard. In addition to Mr. Rumsfeld, 10 others of signatories would serve in the Bush administration, mm-hmm. which included Elliot Abrams, Richard Armitage, John Bolton, Paula Dobrianski, Robert Kagan, Zalman, Cal Azad, Richard Pearl, William Snyder Jr., Robert Zolick, and Paul Wolfowitz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, Saudi Arabia acknowledged that 15 of the 19 September 11 suicide hijackers were Saudi citizens. None of them were Iraqis. So if we wanted to attack, why didn't we attack Saudi Arabia?
Yes. Yes.
Right? Well, because I think that Bush didn't want to go after bin Laden because he didn't want to offend the bin Laden family, because right. you got to remember this, too, that over two dozen members, 27 of Osama bin Laden's family were urgently evacuated mm-hmm. from the United States in the first days
right.
following
yes.
the
no other
attack
planes were flying.
All right.
New York
All
and
right,
Washington,
Andy.
According
mm-hmm.
to the
All
Saudi
right.
ambassador,
yes.
and young members of bin Laden family were driven
Enough.
Or flown under FBI supervision to a secret place
okay.
in Texas
All
and
right.
then to Washington.
Okay, Andy, okay.
Wow.
And also?
You know what? A little time for a nappy.
But,
and also,
well,
one time at...
But most of that we've kind of been saying for the last 10
One time
and
at
hours.
PNAC yeah, Bandcamp? And, okay.
And the Project New American Century said that, gee, if only we had a catalyzing catastrophic Pearl Harbor-like event to make all these things come true. Oh, that was lucky.
Oh,
I think he thought
one.
The combination of that he speaks Jim Ward's language and that he's not going to take a breath.
Right.
He was going to be on for the rest yeah. of the show.
He had it down. He knew how to get
Listen,
his
I have an
across.
Itchy trigger finger. Right? You take one breath and you're gone.
Yeah.
And another thing. Let me have a drink of my coffee.
No!
Oh, okay.
Damn it.
All right. Sorry. Chris in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you? Hey,
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to make a point, you know, with regard to the supposed notion that President Obama is politicizing the killing of Osama bin Laden. You know, look, my reaction to that is not that, well, Bush did it, so it's okay for us to do it, too. I tend to not be in favor of the notion that, you know, two wrongs make a right. What I do think is legitimate is that, remember, these are the exact questions they raised about Obama back in 2008. Crying quite
right.
Even Hillary Clinton raised it with that 4 a.m. phone call.
3 a.m.
Ad that was put on.
Right.
Oh, sorry, 3 a.m. And so the point is that he's pointing out that, look, if you want a strong leader who will make tough decisions, here's the guy. I am that guy. So in that sense, it's a perfectly legitimate thing for him to say in response to the Republicans who claim that he's not the leader that this country needs.
Right. And honestly, you know, do you remember when you look at the contrast, Chris? I mean, we keep talking about this aircraft carrier thing. First of all, no mission was accomplished. Mm-hmm. And he had this big, like, military almost, like, tribute to himself.
He spiked
Whereas,
the football.
Do you remember when Obama, I mean,
well,
pretty much
exactly
like,
right.
Obama pretty much, we got bin Laden. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
No questions.
Exactly
like,
right.
Yeah.
He had a press conference. He had a serious, somber tone of an intelligent, grown-up leader.
Right.
As opposed to some guy strutting across an aircraft carrier.
With a codpiece. Yeah.
And President Obama, let me point out, does not need a codpiece. I'm just saying.
And you know this how? And you know this how?
Joe Biden said he's got a big stick.
Like a ramrod.
Okay. What would you know about that?
Just I know stuff. Okay, one last one. JR in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. I love your show every morning.
I love you.
Every chance I get.
Oh.
I got a quick couple things, though. First of all, I think we just always fall into this trap where we let the Republicans bring up the issues, and we're not doing it. Of course, we know Romney didn't support going into Afghanistan and trying to get Osama, or even Pakistan and trying to get Osama.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, President Obama, to me, he's so intelligent. He's bringing up the issues before they do. Let's say, for example, do you remember when he went into the Republicans and he had a meeting with them a couple
yes.
years ago? It was him by himself. Anyway, he brought up Paul Ryan. They fell for that. And now you can see what Paul Ryan is a fool. But it's just that you have to use your sense instead of, and you can't fall for what they're trying to do. We got to bring up the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to win in November.
Yes, we
okay?
are. Yes. Yes, we can. 2012. I'm in. Okay. All right. 45. Listen, I'm in my Obama T-shirt today. 46
Bedazzled,
minutes.
Bedazzled, no less.
Right? 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee Golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Should I
have a parachute?
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. That's what we use here at the Stephanie Miller Show. We love it. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For our exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. GoToMyPC.com, and the promo code is Stephanie. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Richard in Jersey just wants us to know he's really drunk. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Steph.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. I'm just calling to say that I remember when John McCain used Osama,
uh-huh.
as a political ploy.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when he said, I know how to get him.
Okay, all right.
And if elected, I will.
John, where you been drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern time in Jersey?
Hello?
Oh, the bar's open up early.
Awesome. Okay, thanks.
Hello? Hello?
And yeah. He made a more cogent point than some of our right-wing callers.
Than Billy in Texas. He made a hell of a lot more sense than Billy in Texas.
Took him off to get to the point.
Oh, goodness. Nice to hear from John.
Thing, I forgot I was
you know,
say.
Really long pauses, always good in radio.
Yeah.
Dead
That's
air. We love
sound.
It. Dead Stephanie air. In Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, now that we're on foreign policy with Mitt, does it scare anyone that this man is so uncomfortable in his own state, the southern part of his state, he's uncomfortable with weird food like grits and cookies that he don't know
pancakes.
Where they come from?
Yeah.
How is he, and pancakes, how is an American entity, how is he going to go to a foreign country and be comfortable, and he may turn his nose at some food
exactly.
that's weird to him and cause a war or something
yeah, exactly.
crazy.
He's going to cause an international event by insulting food somewhere. Yeah. These don't look very good. I don't know about this.
This croque monsieur is substandard.
This is really, oh my God, this amuse bouche is awful. Oops.
My bouche is not very amused.
Oh, by the way, Mitt Romney says Democrats hate golf courses.
What?
And pools. He attended a fundraiser.
I know plenty of Democrats who go on golf courses.
He attended a fundraiser at a luxurious estate and said, what a home this is. What grounds these are. The pool, the golf course. You know, if a Democrat were here, he'd look around and say, no one should live like this. Republicans come here and say, everyone should live like this.
Oh,
rich
idiot.
Guy, horse face laugh. No, Democrats don't say no one should live like that. You should just pay your fair
right.
share.
And you should earn it.
Right.
By not selling companies overseas.
Yes.
And destroying them here.
Yes.
Letting, say, Detroit die, for example.
Say, for example. All right. Mittens on the campaign trail.
It's at high in part because of the president's policies.
Gas prices.
He's cut in half the number of licenses and permits that were used to drill on federal lands.
Wrong,
yes.
wrong,
so
wrong,
drilling
wrong.
On those lands will not be coming forward in the coming years.
We're drilling more than ever.
We're drilling more than ever, and besides, it's now linked with the stock market. It's totally divorced from supply and demand now.
And by the way, gas prices are coming down. Oops.
Yeah, quite a bit,
oops,
actually.
When Bush was in office, he said the president has nothing to do with gas prices. Now, suddenly, he has everything to do with it, as long as they're going up.
Senator Kelly Ayotte, she's supposed to be on the shortlist for VP.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans love chicks. There's no war on women. Look, we have a chick.
They're out of touch, special interest driven, and they aren't listening to the people of America.
Talking about the Romney campaign?
Yeah. Well, she's got the Republican talking points down, but can she actually do something?
Remember, how that worked well for them before. The, hey, look, we have a chick. Gambit for vice president. Look, we have one
chick.
We have one too.
Also two.
Also two. Jody in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jody.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to Columbus. We're happy to have you back in Columbus.
Yay. Go to the Sexy Liberal Show August 18th.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
You were talking about Dick Cheney earlier, and I found it appalling that after getting a new heart and a new lease on life, that the first thing that he would do is go on TV and spew hateful lies about the current president of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
How un-American is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you might say it's heartless.
Exactly.
For once, you'd be inaccurate.
If he only had a heart.
Hmm.
Robert in Texas.
If I only had a heart. Oil can. Oil can make me very rich.
I'm sorry. Oil can? Robert in Texas, hello.
Yes, I'm calling from Texas, and I just want to make three quick comments. We're really glad George Bush is no longer in office. We're glad Rick Perry is not going to be is out of the running. And we have a sign in our front yard that says, we support Obama.
Uh-oh. Brave man in Texas. Somebody's giving him direction in the
back. Yeah.
Aw, his wife was trying to direct him. Okay.
And another thing, tell her that...
You can keep all the oops. You can keep the oops down there in Texas. Yeah,
why didn't the wife just get on the phone and...
It was like Charlie Brown's teacher in the background.
Oh, boy.
All right. Politico piece. Mitt Romney's frenemies.
Yeah.
It's the season of lemon-sucking endorsers for Mitt Romney.
It's so hilarious to watch.
It's just one is more tepid than the next.
Yeah.
With his presidential nomination all but assured, a number of high-profile national Republicans who'd stayed on the sidelines have emerged as Romney endorsers, each one damning the future standard bearer with faint praise with their blessings.
Oh, I guess he'll do. Kind of.
Their statements range from harsh to sparse. One news outlet even started keeping of who had the most tepid words of support. The quintessential example of a hold-your-nose endorsement was Rudy Giuliani, who's he's appearing with today. He said on Fox and Friends, this reminds me of, you know, going to a surgeon, right? If you've got a terrible cancer or something to be operated on, when I had to be operated on for prostate cancer, I didn't go to the nicest doctor. I went to the best doctor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. That's praise?
I guess. He had been one of Romney's, most blistering critics. He even praised Newt Gingrich as my friend.
Even back in in April. He was against
Mitch Daniels just endorsed him. He said, you have to campaign to govern, not just to win. After a pause, Daniels added with disappointment, Romney doesn't talk that way.
They're going to have to change the presidential song to Hail to the...
Hail to the... Really? Okay.
Hail to the best we've got.
Hail to... I'll have to do.
Yeah.
I love this. The comments underscore the lack of excitement about Romney. Also speaks, a number of Republicans said privately, to a reality Romney's facing that he has yet to inspire fear of retribution within his party. Really? Mittens doesn't inspire fear? He's so butch.
Grr.
Inspires fear in dogs.
Yeah. Well, more on this story. David Schuster, the most interesting man in the world from Current TV. And much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. How did this get here, Chris? What? It's Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour album, Volume 1. Number one, it's been number one on Amazon, iTunes, the physical CD available on sexyliberal.com.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even know how did that get placed there? That's just ridiculous. Why?
The comedy album that has topped the charts. From iTunes to Amazon.com and even Billboard Magazine. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Volume 1 has broken records and shattered Republican memes. What once was only digital is finally getting physical. Now, for the first time, you can experience Stephanie and her sexy liberal gang on CD, featuring the talents of John Pugelsang.
Blaming this recession on Obama is like blaming your hangover on the guy making breakfast, okay?
Hal Sparks.
The right side of the Senate must have just sounded like popcorn. To the heads exploding. What science and a victory on a terrorism front?
And progressive radio superstar Stephanie Miller.
You know what? It's getting too mean at those Republican debates, isn't it? That's why Chris Christie didn't get in, because you know it's already Lord of the Flies that somebody would have killed the fat kid with a rock.
Go to sexyliberal.com or stephaniemiller.com to own the album that chronicles progressive comedy history. Now available on CD.
Yay! All right. And tickets to the live show going fast. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook and Twitter. We got Minneapolis coming up next month, and then Boston, then L.A. Get it. Oh, looky, it's an unsolicited testimonial from Mark in San Francisco. We like people that write, respectful letters.
That's right.
With a little snark. San Francisco, where they moved our show to the evening and put Glenn Beck in my time slot. And
snap.
The ratings have gone down. Not that anyone's counting.
90%.
Okay.
Wow.
That's some...
Mark writes, thank you. Greetings. I wanted to say a hearty thank you for your company's insightful shake-up of the morning lineup. Stephanie Miller's show is a regular companion in each and every one of my and my husband's daily carpool commute through San Francisco Bay Area. Family were loyal and vocal customers of your station's advertisers.
But now...
The reason I'm thanking you is twofold. First, due to the recent programming shakeup, our family has found our smartphone's ability to allow us to listen to Stephanie Miller again in the morning on stations such as KPTR in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Hi, KPTR. Thank you. Also, your shakeup has eliminated the need to have an old-fashioned radio lying around cluttering up our home. I'm glad your station continues to broadcast Glenn Beck's hate speech, since there clearly was not enough of this type of programming being broadcast in San Francisco, and I'm sure your station's rating increased during Stephanie Miller's former time slot have more than justified this obviously business-based decision.
Oh,
so it seems nothing. Clear this has been a win-win for both your station and your listeners. Congratulations and thank you. Mark.
Okay, that may
See?
Be my
no
favorite
name
letter ever.
I think
no.
I detect a whiff of sarcasm
yeah,
there.
That's my favorite letter ever.
It seemed like a sincere thank you. All right.
Greetings.
Greetings. All right. Oh, and in a totally unrelated story, apparently we've tripled the ratings here at Current in only our month on the air, and so now they're replaying the least crappy hour of our show every day at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern. Kind of relative, kind of a low bar.
I guess
was this hour crappier or was that hour?
I guess some people were trying to call the show during that time yesterday.
Oh.
And it's like, no, don't do that.
I think they were flashing on the screen. Not
were,
live.
But,
not
but,
live.
But,
don't call.
But some people don't watch. Huh? Some people don't pay attention to us.
Why is she ignoring me? Why won't she answer the phone?
What? You saying some people weren't paying attention?
What?
What?
Huh?
What I missed?
What are you saying?
Hmm?
Nothing. All right, yesterday, Jim and I were obsessed with the frog. It looked like it was sitting like on but just like sitting up with his hands
hey,
on
how
his
you doing?
Legs. How you doing?
Yeah, expect him to break out into song.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Ribbit. Ribbit.
And now, just because it's another reason to play baby monkey, have you seen this video of the guy? No monkey around. Japan man, fastest man on four legs. In the suburbs of Tokyo, the world's fastest man on four legs for nearly a decade, long a fan of simians, what's his name, Kenichi Ito. He's been perfecting a running style based on one of the monkeys of Africa, winning himself a Guinness Book World Record in the process. He said, you know, my face and body kind of look like a monkey, so from a young age, everyone used to tease me saying, monkey, monkey. See, there's a happy ending. But I wasn't really bothered because I liked them, and from that point, I practiced running like a monkey every day. For 8.5 years, he's walked around his neighborhood on his hands and feet wearing gloves and cleated shoes. And I thought my neighbors are weird.
Walk like an Egyptian, run like a monkey.
His speed at running 100 meters on all fours, just under 20 seconds, a Guinness Book record.
Wow.
Yeah. Occasionally, he gets together with fellow four-legged running fanatics to race each other. Okay, so he knows a lot of other weirdos.
That's
Sometimes awesome. They bring cats and dogs to join the fun. Oh, boy. His passion for simians has not been without setbacks. I went up to the mountains for about a month for a kind of four-legged training camp once, but on the first day, a hunter mistook me for a wild boar and tried to shoot me. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. But baby monkey.
Riding on a pig, baby monkey. Baby monkey. Baby monkey. Backwards on a pig, baby monkey. The world has gone insane. And you don't know what is right. You've got to keep on keeping on. Get on that pig and hold on
That was the actual video of the baby monkey riding backwards on a pig that someone put to music. But now
the frog
may have replaced that in our section.
Yeah, of course, with all the radiation in Japan now, we may have a Planet of the Apes situation.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Sorry. Debbie Downer's tomorrow.
Rachel Dratch is tomorrow. Thanks.
Rachel Dratch from SNL. Yes. Big show tomorrow.
Debbie Downer herself.
Right.
Can I have some Squeezy music, please?
Oh.
Squeezy, it's another pervy doctor doing a pervy study. A gynecologist says he found the elusive G-spot.
Mm-hmm. Did a lot of research, I bet.
It's just a way to be a perv.
So much
I'm a
research.
Doctor, I have a white coat and a clipboard.
Sorry, I'm wearing a white lab coat and no pants.
And a stethoscope.
No pants.
You can trust me, I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor of my bow.
A Florida gynecologist contends he has finally found the G-spot by means of a seven-hour dissection. Oh, this is not hot.
That's not fun.
No, that's not hot. He says he located the elusive source of female sexual satisfaction deep in the vagina.
Deep.
Deep undercover. Deep. Several experts are highly skeptical of his assertion, saying his paper is long on speculation and headline-grabbing potential, short on proven scientific research. Here's the part that's really definitely not hot. He said he performed a layer-by-layer vaginal dissection on the cadaver of an 83-year-old woman who just died of head trauma.
Okay,
wow.
That's not hot.
That's not hot at all.
Wow, there's so many layers of not hot to that.
Splat!
Oh.
I just think I'm gonna burn.
Wow.
All right. Also, now that is a bad day when you die of head trauma and then have your vagina dissected by some pervy doctor
for 7 hours.
That is a bad.
For 7 hours.
I thought I was having some bad days lately. Wow. Okay. In the other, don't you hate when this happens? Woman sues dentist says she swallowed tool. A dental.
You should have taken the Novocaine, not the gas.
No, he dropped a screwdriver down her throat.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yes,
a central Kentucky woman is suing a dentist accusing him of dropping a small screwdriver down her throat that migrated to her digestive tract and later required surgery to remove. Dr. Galbraith discharged Ms. David with an instruction to eat a diet high in fiber. Oh, that's nice. I'm sorry I dropped a screwdriver down your throat.
And
just
low in screwdrivers.
Ahead and shoot that out.
What was he doing with a screwdriver?
That'll teach you to swallow. What? What'd I say?
Okay.
I was thinking of one of those spiky things.
This is a bad breakup, bad dentist story. Dennis reacts to bad breakup by pulling out ex-boyfriend's teeth.
Oh, dear. Oh.
This may not have been a wise decision to go to his ex. Maybe. Feel that soon. Look, tragedy plus time equals comedy. Anna somebody, 34-year-old dentist in Poland, under investigation for malpractice after she allegedly pulled out all of her ex-boyfriend's teeth. When he showed up to ask for help with toothache. He arrived just a few days after the pair split. Probably not now.
There are probably other dentists in Warsaw.
Yeah, she said, I tried to be professional and detach myself from his emotions, but when I saw him lying there, I just thought, what a bastard, and I decided to take all his teeth out.
Oh, my God!
When he awoke, his mouth was bandaged shut. He said, I knew something was wrong. For one, he could no longer feel his teeth. That's a sign. That's a warning sign. She assured him that all was well and that his mouth was merely numb. When I got home, I looked in the mirror and I couldn't believe it. The bitch had emptied my mouth. Adding insult to injury, the cab driver's new girlfriend ditched him soon after, saying she can't be a man with a man without teeth.
Uh-huh.
Without teeth.
And then she
billed
him for the cooper, I'm sure.
All right, so those are a couple people having a worse day than you are, no matter how bad your day is going. Let's go to Cynthia in Missouri real quick. Hey, Cynthia, welcome. Hello.
I'd just like to commend your staff, your crew, for the perfect job you're doing, and I'd like to comment on Mitt Romney, the ridiculous show.
Uh-huh. Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, Steph and crew. I just want to commend you all for doing a perfect job.
Is this Groundhog Day? Somebody hit the share music. All right, I appreciate that. Thank you.
They say we're young and we
Hello.
Don't know.
How are you?
Wow.
That was that scene in Groundhog Day that our friend Rick Overton was in.
No, I think you missed her punchline.
Oh.
And so you said, go ahead, and so she did it again.
Oh.
I think that's what happened there.
All
you
right.
stepped on her.
Pardon me. She had a bad connection. That sort of went awry. Okay. And now some more share music. Okay. Morning. How are you?
Rise and shine.
Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. What? David Schuster's coming to save us shortly.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
Great. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere. That with my GoToMyPC. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. I'm spinning again. I'm so excited. You can try it free for 45 days for our exclusive offer. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Phil in Boston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phil.
Mama.
Baby.
Hey, Mooks.
Hey!
Okay. Hey! Hey, I just wanted to respond. Oh, by the way, I'd like to put myself in as the official blues guitarist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, hello now. All right.
Well, don't. Isn't Dr. Dan
up here in the Northeast?
Oh, yes. Dr. Dan, I guess, is the. That's all right.
I want to respond to that ridiculous comment by the lying sack of Mitt.
Yes.
Earlier about Obama cutting down on oil drilling permits. Mm-hmm. Our dependence on foreign oil in the first 3 years of his presidency has gone from 57% to 44%. We're drilling more, we're producing more domestic oil than we have in the last 7 years.
Right.
And he's just, I really would like to get our right-wing listeners to please avail themselves to some fact-based political journalism before they cast their vote this year.
That was so polite. He was like the polite chipmunk. Please, we ask you to avail yourselves of some sort.
Not for you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Oh, have some facts. Okay. Tom in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi.
Just a couple of quick comments. One is that it's amazing that the Romney could make a nasty remark about Jimmy Carter when you figure Romney was very happy to get his draft deferments and his high draft number, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Carter spent his time on submarines, including a nuclear submarine.
Yes, mm-hmm. and Mitt Romney's sons have a higher purpose to serve, as you know, than
right.
getting him elected president.
Yes, that's why they skipped out on service.
And just another thing is I think all conversations about health care should start with reference to Bush giving Iraq and Afghanistan universal health care in their constitutions.
Ah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the third thing, that everybody blaming Obama for the gas prices, but yet Bush, I think it was in 2005, it was a reporter that had to tell him that gas prices were going up to $4 a gallon. At a news conference?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. By the way, so we were talking about the tepid endorsements of Romney.
Yeah.
And also they were saying that Mittens, which is weird because he's so butch, apparently not inspiring the fear he needs to in Republicans. One operative said, of course people are unafraid. Remember the children's game, King of the Mountain? Romney's like a college freshman reliving his grade school glory by knocking sixth graders off the mountain. No one's impressed by that. He literally just barely won in the weakest Republican field probably ever. Pataki, here's another endorsement. Ready?
Ooh.
Former Governor Pataki of New York said, Mitt is not a perfect candidate.
Wow.
He has a number of problems. It's hard for blue-collar families like mine to identify with him. It's hard for economic conservatives to identify with him. He needs to do more to reach out to Latinos. But I think he has to focus on that and on defeating President Obama.
Yeah. Other than that,
he's doing great. He's not really very strong.
He's not a strong swimmer.
With any groups.
He's not a strong candidate.
Let's go to Carol in Texas. Hi, Carol.
I know you.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, there's just two real quick. I'll try to be succinct. First of all, about Osama bin Laden, he was Saudi, and we have to remember that the Saudis were the ones that backed Bush for presidency, which kind of makes me think that there was something to do with giving Dubai our ports. Anyway, that's just one thought. And the other thing is, isn't it funny how Bush looks a little bit like Alfred E. Newman,
yes,
and Scott Walker looks like the ventriloquist dummy?
Yes, he does. There is that weird sort of lack of any facial expression, Scott Walker, right? Just kind of that vaguely cross-eyed little bit like, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Mitt Romney, actually. There's no facial expression there either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he looks like he may have been hit with a plank right before he goes on TV.
Captain Botox.
Governor Walker and you to you in 3, 2.
Ow.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he seems briefly stunned.
Yeah.
What just happened?
It's not union bashing. Okay. Jeannie in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeannie.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, go ahead.
Good. I just want to say that I love your show.
Thank you.
And I just started watching it a few days ago. I didn't know you were on, and so I'm a faithful viewer from now on.
Aw, thank you.
And I also wanted to say that I'm really angry at the fact that Romney and Giuliani are going to capitalize on Osama's death.
Yes, they're going to talk about how the president is politicizing Osama bin Laden's death.
Just, I can't stand it.
In New York with some firefighters.
Yeah.
It just makes me angry that they totally take away the credit that President Obama should have.
Yep, yep, exactly. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, the most interesting man in the world from Current TV, David Schuster, joins us next.
Stephanie Miller.
You increasingly attractive-looking woman. You know, you're really pretty.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious. You could be in magazines. You could. You can, and not just like Jugs or Creamsicle.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. By the way, stop sending me the picture. I'm not the brunette woman in the baseball cap that stole the baseball from that little crying kid at the Texas Rangers game.
Oh, I saw that. That was awful.
No, it was not me. I know. It was a brunette woman in a baseball cap.
Well.
They were, like, celebrating getting the ball, and the kid's like, like, woo!
Yeah, find his keepers.
We got the baseball. Bam!
Well, it's like they didn't even see the kid. They didn't see that they had stolen it from the kid.
No, they're just like, like, booyah! Yeah, and the kid's like, All right, that was not me. Okay.
Although it could be.
All right.
They're acting like childless losers, so.
Yeah. No, I'm a childless loser. All right. You know what? It's you know what time it is.
For Current TV, our good friend, David Schuster.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And here he is to talk about the most awkward man in the world, Mitt Romney. Good morning, David Schuster.
Stephanie, good morning. You know, no worries about stealing baseballs from kids. I do that all the time.
Take that candy while you're at it. So let's talk about the most awkward man in the world, most interesting man, Mitt Romney. He has a woman problem, as they say. Different than, not a Bill Clinton kind of woman problem, but I mean, he's 10 points behind the last poll I saw, right?
Yeah, I mean, women basically hate his guts, and then there are women... And then there are the women who just don't know anything about him, who think they hate his guts, but they'll soon figure out why. Now, I mean, it's really awkward. I think he reminds and creeps out a lot of people, men and women. But I think, you know, his biggest problem right now is that his policies take us back to about the 1950s in terms of how we view women. And so between his sort of strange personal, I don't know, tics and sort of weird behavior, and then you marry that with the policies that he articulated in the Republican primary campaign, and I think, you know, I think that's a huge problem for the Republicans.
Well, I mean, David, if thus far is any indication of how they're going to run this campaign, I mean, did his spokesman really say, oh, yeah, the bailout, that was his idea. Uh-huh, that was his idea. You know, and, yeah, oh, yeah, getting bin Laden, that was his idea. What? Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Eric Fernstrom. And look, we're not talking about any, you know, just any sort of run-of-the-mill advisor. I mean, his top advisors is what, to go out on Saturday and proclaim, oh, yeah, the reason the bailout works is because President Obama did exactly what Mitt Romney wanted him to do. No, I mean, that is as big a lie or as a fabrication as you will hear. I mean, it's complete revisionism of history. I mean, if Mitt Romney had his way, Detroit and the state of Michigan would have been allowed to go, you know, belly up, bankrupt. And even though there may be, you know, this Republican say, well, you know, there was something of a structured bankruptcy with how the president ended up handling it, even if you want to entertain that intellectual argument, the fact of the matter is the president and the Obama administration said, we are going to allow government money to be spent to try and help out, to try to manage the automakers. Mitt Romney, there was no way he was going to allow government money to be spent. So he's just flat out lying. Thinking through, I mean, from beginning to end, on this point, he's lying.
You know, David, it's interesting. Our friends at Media Matters did a great piece on the bailouts, saying, when will Rasmussen ask voters if they want pet unicorns? They're talking about, you know, this is one of the ways, but then the mainstream media uses this polling to try to help Romney out.
Right.
When they ask about, oh, they should have used regular bankruptcy procedures, well, of course, according to every economic expert, that wasn't available then, because all the credit, as you recall, had dried up. That was not a path that would have been doable, correct?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there was, you know, credit was tight. There was the only, you had to make a choice back in a couple of years ago. You had to decide, is the government going to get involved? Is the government money going to be spent to try to help out Ford and GM and Chrysler and the automakers in the state of Michigan? Or is it not? And Romney very clearly said, no, let them die. No government money should be spent. It'll be throwing, you know, good money after bad money. And the Obama administration had a very different view. They said, no, we're not going to allow Detroit to do that. We're going to try this.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, at a certain point, I think Republicans, if Romney wants to have any credibility, argue on the points where you want to argue. Let Obama have, you know, some of bin Laden. Yes, it was the administration that killed bin Laden. Let the president take credit for it. Let the president take credit for saving the auto industry. He did those things. If you're Mitt Romney, argue other points.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The idea is to somehow, you know, diminish these things that the president actually did. It's absurd.
And David, how do you run as a businessman when you know as well as anybody but that the regular bankruptcy procedures were not available because of the financial crisis? Like, you know, you just can't say, oh, this mythical thing that, you know, that couldn't have possibly been done, that's the way he should have done it. I mean, it has no credibility.
It's got no credibility. It reminds me of some other things that, you know, it doesn't take drilling very deep into what Mitt Romney has said to sort of peel this apart. Mitt Romney has said during the primary campaign, he said, well, you know, government stands in the way of things. So we can't have a government being involved in businesses because it stands in the way, it's inefficient. And yet, in one of the ads that Mitt Romney has been running where he talks about his successes as a private businessman, he cites a steel mill in Indiana, where I'm originally from, that Romney was able to turn around. Well, yeah, that's sort of true, except for the fact that that steel mill, the deal that Romney pulled off, included more than $90 million in government funds on a local level from, you know, the county and from the state. But nonetheless, it was a government partnership that enabled Romney to pull off this deal. So when he says, on the one hand, oh, government always stands in the way, and yet in his own ads, he's touting the success of the steel mill, which, oh, by the way, benefited from a public-private partnership. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And I think at a certain point, the American people, when they start paying attention to this election, they're going to say, you can't trust a word this guy says.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, Biden...
Hello, I lied.
Yeah. I mean, the you know, what Biden said about, you know, bin Laden's dead, GM is alive. That's a pretty succinct, strong case, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's strong to me. And I think, you know, the irony in all of this is that I do think to a certain extent, look, you know, the president, I think it's great for Democrats and the president to be making a case for bin Laden. Bin Laden's dead, the president gets credit for it. You know, should the president have said Mitt Romney might have done something different? I don't know. I suppose you can argue it both ways. I'm just glad that the Democrats are showing some aggressiveness on this and willing to sort of play hardball and all that. But at a certain point, I mean, the Romney campaign needs to sort of get off of it and say, or realize, well, you know, there is something of a danger here for President Obama, because most Americans would give credit on the way to the military or to the CIA, not as much to the President of the United States. If that's the point Republicans are trying to make, then, you know, then there's an actual argument there, and they can sort of redefine this. But if they're simply trying to say, oh, well, you know, the president shouldn't deserve any credit for attacking and killing bin Laden, I mean, it's crazy.
Well,
it's
and crazy. David, I mean, isn't it unfortunate when, you know, you have Mitt Romney obviously on tape in 2007 saying, we shouldn't move heaven and earth to get one guy. He criticized Obama's strategy, which turned out to be exactly correct.
Yeah, and it gets to the point that, there are going to be some days, the anniversary of the death of bin Laden or the anniversary of when the Obama administration made the decision to bail out Detroit. If you're the opposition, it just seems like smarter politics. Just let them have their day, minimize the news cycle, and move on. Move on, change the subject, wait for the day to pass. You're just going to have to take your licks. And I think it gets to, in a way, I think progressives and Democrats should be very happy that there's Mitt Romney wanted to slug it out, and extend these issues. Because if the bin Laden death anniversary becomes not just sort of a one-day story, but a one-week story, that helps the Obama administration. And I think it's, smart politics by the Democrats to try to goad Mitt Romney into making these ridiculous claims because it extends the story, it magnifies it, and that's to the president's benefit.
Yeah, no, exactly. Keep talking about how Obama got Osama bin Laden. And also, why don't you do another ad about how cool he is?
that's the other, I love the Jimmy Kimmel joke that there's President Obama, he's able to slow jam to the news, and, Mitt Romney wants to, if he would slow jam to anything, it would be like the Merv Griffin show.
Exactly. What, David, what are you thinking about vice presidential picks? Obviously, all the, a lot of names. Chris Christie, gosh, that was a flip-flop.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Well, and given his girth, flip-flops are not easy for Chris.
No, no. Oh. Even the Russian judge would give that a 9.
David Schuster.
the one that I'm hoping, and it's starting to, getting a lot of more sort of seriousness in Washington, a lot of people talking about the Representative Paul Ryan from Wisconsin as the architect of this Republican budget plan. And, there was Paul Ryan on CNN talking about, oh, yeah, I would sort of consider it, and I'd have to pray with my family. And the Romney campaign seems totally enamored with this guy, that Mitt Romney appears to like him personally, and they have some good chemistry. And I think that would be the best thing for the Obama reelection campaign is if Paul Ryan is on the ticket, because it doesn't take much reading and much research, and you can even spell it out in ad. The Paul Ryan budget that he proposed, that Mitt Romney has embraced, is the most ridiculous, divisive, mean-spirited, and dishonest budget that this nation has seen in 30 years. The numbers do not add up. It doesn't make any sense. If you adopt the Romney-Ryan budget, you're talking about throwing 14 to 25 million Americans off of Medicaid. You would have a huge $4 trillion hole in the budget because Romney won't specify how he's going to recoup some of the tax cuts he gives to corporations and wealthiest Americans. I mean, the numbers are crazy.
Yeah.
They're absolutely crazy. And if Mitt Romney wants to stand with Paul Ryan, God bless him. Go for it.
Yeah, lash them together, I say. Chris Christie's been speculated, though. Rubio, Jeb Bush even. Who would you say would be the worst news for Democrats?
I think the worst news... My sense, a lot of people, they go, we're fearful about Rubio because of that appeal to Hispanics. I think Rubio seems a little bit, he just comes across as a little bit sort of flat and experienced. I think Rubio is kind of a stiff, young, and in a way that, the argument that Republicans want to make is that President Obama was somehow inexperienced a few years ago. Well, Mark, Rubio is incredibly inexperienced, and he doesn't do it for me as a candidate. I think Jeb Bush would actually be a problem for the Democrats, and it's maybe a little bit counterintuitive, but, and everyone says, well, the best thing Democrats want to do is remind the country of the Bush years. Well, that's true, except that Jeb Bush is a much more sort of articulate, smart, shrewd, he's a reasonable-sounding sort of Republican, even though some of his policies are a bit extreme. And I think Jeb Bush could cause some problems because of the electoral map. And if Jeb Bush helps Republicans win Florida, then the electoral map becomes, becomes challenging for mm-hmm. the president's reelection.
Well, I asked Congressman Grijalva the other day. I said, are you as insulted as a Hispanic about them picking Rubio as I was about them picking Sarah Palin? some things are so sort of obvious and ham-handed. Like, oh, look, we're good on this because, when I think that if you look at the polling, for instance, Hispanics are not buying it. He has been the most extreme, on anti-immigration rhetoric, hasn't he, in the Republican primary?
Yeah, he's been extreme. And I think also, Romney's been particularly extreme, and he would have a hell of a time trying to trying to compromise between Romney's own sort of position on immigration and Rubio's. I mean, those are pretty different. I think the other part about it, though, is that Rubio is also a little bit more corrosive in the Hispanic community than a lot of, you know, mainstream Republicans want to suggest or are willing to sort of believe right now. And I think that's something that they would only discover if they put Rubio on the ticket.
David Schuster, are you implying that Republicans are in some way not in touch with what some minorities feel about certain things?
I would be thrilled with the Republicans do exactly what they did with Sarah Palin, and that is they pick whatever vice presidential candidate they want in the hopes that, oh, this is going to solve all of our problems. Don't do any research. Don't do any background checks. Don't even do any public polling or focus groups. That's the way I think Republicans ought to pick all their vice presidential running mates, because if they do it this time around, there are all sorts of minefields out there for the Republicans. And even some of, you know, my wiser Republican friends know it, but they're terrified that the Romney campaign and some Republicans are so eager for a quick, easy solution, they're going to do what John McCain did with Sarah Palin 4 years ago.
Right. Well, they're as we speak, David Schuster, doing a study on us lady voters and what we like. What they might want to do is spend some time with some real women and,
yeah,
what in the real
skirts
world.
Want?
Yes. Yeah, believe it or not, maybe, I don't know, maybe some, like, health care for women,
right,
or maybe being able to protect our privacy or women's privacy. I mean, those seem like basics to me. But
yeah.
Maybe not accusing them of being sluts and lesbians.
Yeah. That would help. Fair pay.
Yeah. Not having to be forcibly raped by a gynecologist if
yes.
you don't want to.
Yes. Ask Sandra Fluke, who is apparently a heterosexual whore and a lesbian.
And a lesbian, according to Monica Crowley.
Well, the Monica Crowley thing was also pretty bizarre, because Monica Crowley is what touted as one of the more sort of intellectual conservative thinkers out there.
Yikes.
And I always thought that the sort of jokes about all feminists must be lesbian. But that was like so 1960s or 70s.
Yeah, that was 1974. That's not...
Yeah, why don't you make a bra-burning joke?
Exactly. Right. I mean, it's just pathetic. But
all right.
That's how it is with them.
David Schuster, you are the most interesting man in the world. And I love you in an unholy way.
Always a pleasure, and I'll go find some baseballs for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, there he goes. David Schuster, current TV.
The most interesting man in the world.
Yes, 47 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Marlene in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I wanted to make a suggestion to you that you take Mitt Romney out on a circuit with you, honey, because that man is funny. He lies so much. And I mean, he with his blue jeans, and he's explaining to the world how he saved GM and how he got Bin Laden. You know, that guy is funny.
He's funny. He is really unintentionally. His wife, Ann Romney, said this morning that he's wild and crazy,
is he,
Jim.
Inside.
On the inside?
I'm marvelously zany. I'm
wild and crazy guy.
I'm a panic.
He's a Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd sketch.
Oh, boy.
Inside.
Look,
on the inside.
There's an arrow through my head, and yet it's not really going through my head.
Okay. Wowee. By the way, so David Schuster was just talking about Paul Ryan and his awful budget, which is, you know, he was talking about gutting Medicare, and I don't know why this doesn't surprise me. Seems cutting Medicare and programs for the poor isn't Paul Ryan's only favorite pastime. In an interview with the New York Times this past Sunday, he declared his love for catfish noodling.
For what? Excuse me?
Y'all
for
know what that is? Catfish noodling.
Sounds dirty.
I'm a city boy. I don't know what catfish noodling is. I'm sorry.
I don't know why, Jim, this seems borders on animal cruelty. It's kind of weird.
Huh. It's Paul Ryan's cruel. Huh?
Uh-huh.
I could never have imagined that.
In many southern states, catfish noodlers use their bare hands to catch a large catfish. Ryan explained, you get your hand inside the fish and they come up on your hand and you just squeeze wherever you are on that fish and pull it out.
So it's kind of like fishing without
kinda,
line.
Yeah, strangling a fish with your bare hands, because I guess you can see it suffer more that way, which is, you know,
more fun for them.
He said, I know it sounds a little crazy, but it's really exhilarating.
Wow.
The practice poses significant dangers because the noodler can drown while being held underwater by a large catfish.
There is that.
What? Just fill it into the thought
bubble. What?
The fish's Fair teeth fight. Can also tear the skin. Oh, thank God he has that government health care. He doesn't need a voucher or anything for that, should he have a catfish noodling-related injury.
Anything that's called noodling can't be dangerous. I'm sorry.
And other creatures like beavers and he could have a beaver problem. Beavers and muskrats that also populate the underwater holes can easily bite the fingers off fishermen. Once again, thank God for the government health care, because you get a voucher one if you get, if a beaver gnaws your finger off.
Beaver has teeth.
You need government health care. You need socialist health care. Yeah, voucher's not going to handle that.
You really shouldn't get near beaver because it has teeth.
Right?
Yep.
Some experts argue noodling is inhumane because eggs cannot hatch after the adult catfish has been removed from the nest. How weird that he wouldn't really care about that. Yeah, but you'd see the limping rise and you strangle him to death and again.
Yeah. So hot.
Mmm. And then I thought they were pro-life. What happens to the baby catfish then, right?
Baby catfish.
Yeah, what happens to the baby
catfish?
Yeah.
Riding on Paul Ryan.
Yeah, then the baby catfish die because you strangled the mother to death. You heartless Medicare-slashing bastard.
Baby catfish.
What about the... Won't somebody please think about the catfish children? Only me, I guess. Fine.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh, that's not going to make it into a Disney movie.
So, wait a minute, is catfish noodling or catfish canoodling?
No, noodling. It's called catfish noodling.
Because catfish canoodling is something very different.
Speaking of Republican douches, Representative Joe Walsh from Illinois.
He was a historic figure.
Obama.
He's our first African-American president.
Uh-huh.
The country voted for him because of that. It made us feel good about himself. I've said it before. Oh. It helped that John McCain was about 142 years old. It helped that the economy was tanking. A lot of these things helped. But he never would have gotten there without his historic nature.
For his blackness. Because, you know, being black in America has always been such a bonus.
Yeah, right. it's always a step up.
Historically, yes. Yes, it's always, that makes made it so much easier.
All those welfare queens in their Cadillacs.
Yes, that's why so many black people have been president, because it's so, you know.
Easy.
It's such
makes
a
right. It
so it's a leg up in this country, as you know. Okay, wowee.
Wow.
How about this? Conservative groups accuse Dan Savage of bullying.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
For bullying religious students who walked out of a recent lecture, he had some good... Could you take out your organ for me? Just some good things. He sounds like our ecclesiastical MOOC. He said, we ignore bull in the Bible about all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. The Bible is a radically pro-slavery document. Slave owners waved Bibles over their heads during the Civil War and justified it. We ignore what the Bible says about slavery because the Bible got slavery wrong. If the Bible got the easiest moral question that humanity has ever faced wrong, slavery, what are the odds the Bible got something as complicated as human sexuality wrong? 100%.
Yep. What a bully.
Yeah, and so some kids walked out.
Some kids walked out because they felt they were being bullied.
Yeah.
Little whiners.
Yeah, it's funny how these bullies always turn into such whiners and criers.
You can't do that to
tables
me.
Get turned even slightly.
All right, that's it for us. We will see you tomorrow here on the Stephanie Miller Show.